We are on.
Are we?
Yeah, we're here. We got to start with condolences first, though. Forgot to talk about it earlier.
What?
We got to send condolences to the families that lost ones at Boulder, Colorado, and then Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, but we got to make sure we send out our thoughts and prayers to everyone.
For sure. And maybe we should ban some automatic weapons. Not to get too political, but
yeah, it might be a good idea.
Might be time to
look into that. You know,
I mean, it's a concern now that you get the optimism of vaccines and people coming back, you know, activities and
the first thing we run into.
I mean,
is mass
how many
shootings.
There was the spa one in Atlanta, and now grocery store in Boulder,
and those things, like when those type of events happen, it like even though it was you lost 7 or 8 people, it now is a mindset for everyone. When you're going to a grocery store, it's in the back of your mind just
a little bit
like, okay, is the same thing going to happen
right
here? So, yeah, it might be time to look into different legislation.
Gotta be. I mean, it's long overdue.
Definitely. Last time we were here, you were leaving for the Grammys.
Yeah.
Now you're back from the Grammys.
I'm back.
Amala killed her performance. She went crazy.
She did.
I didn't see you there. I was watching. I was like, is that...
I was not on camera, Josh. No, I was not on camera. I did not get to sit next to her at her table.
It seemed like only 2 people at the table.
Yeah. So, the Grammys were weird. A lot of mixed responses. I think the media picks up on the fact that it was viewership was down 50% from last year, and it was 50% for the year before, and it just keeps going down and down. But I don't think that's accurate because
it's hard to test viewership during a
nobody
situation
watches
like this.
Shows when they're on.
Right.
You know, so not only do you get the people that recorded it, but the YouTube views. Doja's performance was trending as number one for the 3 days after the Grammys. So it's like, and millions of people saw that. So people may not watch the original broadcast. I mean, there were like 8 million people that watched it, which is still right. A lot of people, but then those performances, I thought it was smart the way they did it with so many different music performances. You know, I think there's only 10 awards that they announced during the night.
Yeah, the quality of the show was dope. I actually liked that format.
Yeah.
Where it was like a bunch of performances, we get a lot of people out there, and then the only people sitting out there are the ones that are winning some type of awards.
Yeah.
You know, we don't
It's a little awkward. Like, it was a little awkward to have... You know, Harry Styles perform and then watch Billie Eilish perform, you know, in the same area.
Right, because it was like the little sound
stage.
Yeah,
Doja didn't do that. She performed at a different stage, so it was like just her. But all the other ones were, well, not all of them, but most of them were that way. I thought the performances as a whole were great.
We heard a little feedback on the Meg and Cardi. There was a little backlash on
I
that
was,
one.
My jaw dropped a bit. You know, it's hard to get me to get super excited one way or the other about things. But I was just like, are they scissoring right now? What is happening?
Yeah,
is this CBS primetime? And like, you know, my kids watched it and there were questions. I'm fine with it. You know, it was fine to explain. But my 4-year-old is, you know, she was like, what are they doing? I talked to Olivia afterwards. Willow had a lot of questions about what Cardi and Megan were doing on that big bed. Whatever. It worked. You know, I personally, I thought it was their performance was a mess. Like, I was standing next to Doja's choreographer, shout out to Cortland, and like, he was like, this is ridiculous. The dancers can't even do the splits. They're off. Like, but like, most average viewers thought
they,
it was,
they were just looking for a little skin.
Yeah, and it was eye-catching. Yeah. You know, they did it visually. I didn't think it was the best performance of the night. I was obviously biased. I thought Doja's was by far the best, but and I thought Post Malone's was great.
Post killed. I liked the Lil Baby one was okay. I rocked with that one. Post was good.
Yeah. I thought Billy's was good. Harry Styles was good.
Actually, I feel like that's the only 3 I saw. I was in and out of watching the Grammys. I don't really...
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else was like, they did a whole tribute one. Oh, the Silk Sonic.
Oh yeah, Silk Sonic was dope. Actually, I like their tribute song better.
Yeah,
than
the Little Richard tribute.
Yeah.
Although they got that vibe down. The '70s vibe, they got it down. And man, they're so talented. I'm excited to hear what those two do next.
I like how they just did that when they were honoring people. They had someone come out and sing one of their songs, because they did a Kenny Rogers record as well. So I'm like, they should stick to that as well.
Yeah. Lionel Richie, I mean, he's got to be, what, 80? Right? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, but
he's definitely had some work done.
He's still got it, though.
But he can sing. So, yeah, I saw, like, Billboard. Billboard's so, whatever. They're in somebody's pocket for sure. But like they listed their ranking of all the different performances, and they thought Lionel's was the worst.
Who are they?
I don't know. And it's like they're like, he didn't show emotion. It's like, dude, the guy's got so much Botox in his face, he can't show emotion anyway.
Well, what do you expect, though? I'm singing a song that my friend wrote. What do you
she'd be crying.
You want me tap dancing out here? No, chill out. Like,
he's dancing on the ceiling. Anyway, but it was you know.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Not really. Okay. I would say because
like a work trip type thing.
Yeah, I mean it was nice afterward, and it was good to be with everybody, and like it was good to be out there and be vaccinated and not be worried as much. That was weird. But like for having an artist that was up for 3 awards and not winning any, it was like I thought she would win the best new artist. I really did. We all did. And when she didn't, and that was the first award of the night, it was kind of like the rest of it was like, ugh. You know, right, so because the other two were for Say So, and those songs were produced by Dr. Luke, and Dr. Luke has a bunch of controversy around him, and there's no way he's winning a Grammy. So we knew like that was the one that she needed to win, and Megan won it. And I don't understand the qualification for Best New Artist. Megan's been around for a while. Doja's been around for a while. They had Kate Renata on there. Kate Renata's been making music
for a while,
for a decade, over a decade.
Well, when I look at that Grammys, and it's no disrespect to Roc Nation or any of them, but I could definitely see the play on everything. Beyonce and Jay show up.
Yep.
As soon as she shows up, she wins that Grammy. Yep. Then Trevor Noah's like, "Oh, she just tied the most," and I'm like, "I never knew that."
That was not improv.
Exactly. So like, you could see that whole show, and was like one of those things.
Right.
If I'm gonna show up, I'm gonna win. My artist that's over here with me is going to take home some awards.
I have over the last few years been, you know, have some firsthand knowledge of how award shows work, and it's like there's that element to it for sure. I didn't think that was the case for the Grammys, you know, where it's like you've got these ballots. There's this talk of secret committees,
right?
You know, and you've got The Weeknd, who's like, you know, never going to submit his music again, and it just seems like it's entertainment, you know, and it is. At the end of the day, that's all it is. And it's like, did Beyonce deserve to win? I don't know. I mean, Black Parade's a great song, like she's the beast, you know, and Megan had a great year and all that, but yeah, it seemed a little contrived. Like, okay, if Megan's gonna win, Beyonce and Jay were not supposed to be there, and then they're there, and it was her night, so cool, good for her.
Ever since Macklemore got Best Rap Album, life has not been the same. This man beat out Drake, Kendrick, Jay-Z, and Kanye West for Best Rap Album.
What are you saying? You don't think he can...
When's the last time you played Macklemore? Or you even stumbled upon the Macklemore?
I was going to the thrift store the other day.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it's something going on over there.
I mean, awards... And I mean, honestly, in speaking to Amala afterwards, she did not care at all, and it's not an act. Like, it really isn't. She was like, it was kind of amazing that she was there when she lost on some of those, especially for like Song of the Year, Best Pop Performance. She lost to, you know, the other people that lost were Billie Eilish, Dua Lipa. You got like Beyonce lost.
She's like, oh, I'm in good company.
Yeah, the only thing that I thought was super weird is when Billie won, she was like, this should go to Megan, and didn't say this should go to all of you. It was just Megan. And that was weird.
That's when you knew the fix was
there. Yeah, it was kind of like, well, wait, what? You know, like at least be like, all of you are good. It was just, that was weird. But whatever.
Hey, it's the Grammys. They do what they got to do to raise money, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, did we see a boost to Doja's numbers afterwards? Yeah, I guess, you know, so.
She'll be back though.
Oh yeah.
You know, artists like Doja. They were talking about her on the Joe Budden's podcast. Check it out. They were giving her
props or
major props. Yeah, major props.
Because I think about a year ago they were not.
They weren't, because and he even spoke on that. He was like, "Yeah, because his introduction was the Moo record. Oh. So he thought everything was like gimmicky, and then Parks was like, no, bro. She actually can write. She can perform. Oh, she's dope.
No, so, I don't want, you know, this is a Lawyer for Musicians podcast. I don't want to go into, you know, being the Doja Cat podcast, but she's incredible. I mean, her new album is going to be, if that's not nominated for Album of the Year next year,
then you'll be.
I'm boycotting the
group. All right, I'm with you. I'm always down for a good boycott. Let's go.
What else is going on, Eddie? We didn't introduce ourselves.
We just got into it. That's how we do these things, right? Yeah. We're renegades.
Got a lot to say.
We are. You said Lawyers for Musicians already. We're kind of like the movie where you don't say the title of the movie.
Right. In
the
movie. Credits roll at the end.
And then you're like, yeah, we did that.
Yeah. And I do have to say, I saw, I'm Josh. That's Eddie. And
what's up,
we're
guys?
We're here with Adam. And Adam's first episode was the last episode,
right,
which we got up in record time for us.
Yeah, we were moving at a great speed.
And I did get a note from Don.
That he still
because
listens.
I think I made fun of him a little bit on the last one. And he's like, I do still listen to that. So shout out Don. And hopefully be working with Don on some Cool Kid stuff soon. So, that's who we are.
Shout out Don. He's out there getting some work in.
Yep.
Chris is going to play me some of his stuff that he's been working on with some of the artists out there.
So, oh, cool.
Kind of excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what else is going on, Eddie?
Well, you guys know about it. I came in here, you were like, bit clout. Are you down?
And yeah,
I was like,
man.
Wait, what's going on? I don't have any bit clout. And
you got clout, but you don't have
I'm like,
bit
I don't have
clout.
No bit clout. I'm on my phone looking around like, I need some of this. What's going on?
So look, I don't know is the answer. I feel like there's a 50-50 shot that I might have just lost a bunch of money in a scam, but it's a pretty intricate scam. And it is now this thing that's bubbling up. And if you haven't heard about it, you're with the majority of the world, I think. But there is a small and growing group of people that are into crypto and into social that are nonstop talking about this new cryptocurrency called BitClout.
Right.
I got introduced ahead of the game by somebody a couple weeks ago. It's a platform. It's open to the public. It opened yesterday. To the public. It's just bitclout.com. I don't really know the mechanism to get in once you go to bitclout.com, but they accept Bitcoin. So you take Bitcoin from a wallet that you have, an electronic wallet, whatever. It's an
e-wallet type thing?
There you go. And you transfer Bitcoin and you turn it into BitClout. So it's its own coin, right?
Once you have taken cash, anything like that.
No cash, no credit card, nothing. So so people are like, "Oh, that's weird," right? But I think this is also normal for new cryptocurrencies when they first start. I mean, there are hundreds of different coins out there. You know, most people have heard of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, a lot of those. But there are like hundreds of other coins, and each one has its own use. BitClout's use is to buy creator coins, right? And creator coins could be buying Elon Musk and his social network. So essentially, they took the Twitter feed and have the top, whatever, I forgot how many. There's a lot of the top influencers on Twitter. So you've got Elon Musk and you've got Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, LeBron James, even Donald Trump is still on there even though he's banned. Like anybody who's big in the news for social, they have their own profile and they pre-populated the site with all of those. But then when I go on, I create the Josh Kaplan coin. And now I can promote myself and you and Adam can go and buy my coin. And when you buy my coin,
your value goes up.
My value goes up. And then as I grow, your investment in me goes up. So you're buying clout, right? That's essentially what it is. The controversy, there's a lot
of
different.
So how are they determining the actual clout value? Is it like, okay, I'm trending on Twitter right now?
No. I mean, it's what the users on BitClout do, right? So yesterday.
So the more I invest in Ariana Grande,
the more that price is going to go up. It theoretically should be like that, right? Like she drops a new album, like, yeah, her clout should go up. She does something crazy on Twitter, clout should go up. It's more in the news. And that is, I think, how it will work eventually. But right now, there's $165 million worth of Bitcoin that have been transferred onto this platform. So it's serious money, but it's still new. And so I saw somebody yesterday put a bunch of money into Ariana Grande. Her BitClout price, the dollar equivalent, was like $15,000 per coin, right? So one BitClout was worth $15,000 of Ariana Grande. After someone dumped a bunch of money into it, it went up to $27,000. So it's a huge gain.
So if I'm Ariana Grande and I hop on this platform,
yeah,
is there this bag of money waiting for me once I click on?
Yeah, there is. And so you, as a influencer, or as Ariana Grande, or Doja, whoever it is, you can go on and claim that profile. So you claim your BitClout profile. All of that money is now yours to do what you want with. You can reinvest it. You can do different things with it. So there's money being put like that. And I think that is legally, getting back to what you and I do, that's legally how they're getting around this. Because you are basically holding these profiles for these celebrities. And as we know, you can't use celebrities' names, likeness, images without their permission.
Right.
And it's not a copyright. It's not a trademark. It's not a patent, as people have been throwing out. It is the right to publicity. And it's I don't think it's a statutory law. I don't even know what you would call it, but there's a right to publicity.
Right.
And you can't profit off of someone else's name. Right. So, for example, I can't go and start a business and call it Lady Gaga Socks. Right. I can't do that without her permission. Right. Because I'm profiting off of her name.
And so the average consumer would think Lady Gaga is behind these socks.
Is promoting it. Right. And so that's where, you know, it's a clear, defined law. She brings a lawsuit for something like that, she's going to win. Right. And get damages. And so that's what critics and people that are saying that it's a scam are claiming. Like, hey, Elon Musk didn't approve this. Why is he? And his coin is the most valuable. It's like $70,000 or something per coin. Why is it okay to use his name to bring people to this platform? And there isn't really an explanation other than they've sidestepped it by saying, no, that's his. It's his, and that money is his. And it's kind of brilliant, because it's like, am I going to bring a lawsuit against BitClout and say they used my name without my permission when they're holding
money for me?
Money for me, right? So I think it's legit. I think the number of investors to build this platform include the
Facebook twins. I just call them Facebook twins.
They're on there. They've claimed their profiles, which also makes me feel better, right? Like they're actually in control of their own profile on there, and their numbers went up. But like Sequoia Nash, huge VC firms, Coinbase put money into it. So
we need to start our profiles,
yeah,
and just promote that on this.
If you want, we are not making any sort of endorsement of this product. I had a full-on panic attack last night because I put money in, and then I saw it going up, and so I put more money in, and then I was like, well, I'm up. I want to take some money out. You can't withdraw your funds yet. Yet being the key term. And I was
so
like,
what color would that flag be?
Bright red.
Okay. Yeah.
what's the brightest red? I don't know. But I panicked last night and texted my buddy and was like, what did you get me into? But then I was listening, and then it's all over Clubhouse. There's people on Clubhouse. There was like an entire room last night of people talking about how it's a scam. And these are not experts. There were some people on there that are like engineers. There was a guy who was a producer on Black Mirror, and he's like, this feels like a Black Mirror episode. And then they got into the whole social aspect of it and like the ethical aspect of it. Like, is it okay to commoditize people's profiles and assign values to people? And
that's what influencers are.
That's what I'm saying. It's already being done. And now they just created a platform where people can make money. And like,
and it's kind of genius. It's kind of cool in the aspect of, now some of these influencers can have an actual value, as opposed to what is a million followers, what is 10,000 followers. Like, that's how brands are identifying their influencers now, just based upon like these type of numbers. But
true.
Now you can go to my BitClout account and say, my coin is worth this because of this is my influence. Maybe that now legitimizes the influencer.
I think so. I think that it's also the aspect of, now I can, as a commoner, right, like I can profit off of an influencer. Hey, I see that this guy is, you know, the next Bachelor. Well, cool. I'm gonna make money off of that. You know, why not? It's like the same as stocks. And I mean, that's an ethical, like, I'm not a, you know, a professor of ethics. I have a cousin who is, so maybe we bring him on here. But like, it's kind of the same as stocks, right? Like, Target has a great year because everybody's buying more stuff online, or Amazon or something like that. I'm going to go buy stock and I'm going to make money from that. I'm not doing anything. I'm relying on someone else to do it. Well, now we're changing that and commoditizing people. Is that a step too far? I don't know. I'm not here to judge. I just want to make money off of
it. We got the issue of how people influence stocks. And then if they bring that behavior to this, now we're influencing people. And then that's where I see the ethical part, where it's like,
oh yeah, like, yeah. I'm not convinced that this is the most ethical thing in the world, but like, definitely the stock market is not. And you see these huge VCs dumping a bunch of money into something, whether it's worth anything or not. And I don't know. And so, I mean, like, you know, I would love to see a way to withdraw funds. That would make me feel really good.
Right.
They said that it's coming soon. And I think part of the reason why it's not there is when you start a new currency like this, you can't have everybody just taking their money out, or it devalues the whole thing. And right. But I don't know enough about that to really speak intelligently.
Right.
So I feel right like now,
we need another Owen episode.
Yeah, I for sure. Owen and Mystery School would definitely have an opinion on this. I do think you should just go buy the JCAPI34 BitClout coin.
Word. Okay.
For anybody who invests in me, I'll invest in them.
Do you have to stick with your Twitter handle, or just chose?
You can form your own. Okay. And that was the thing on Clubhouse last night. It was like, I finally got my own handle. That means so much to me. And it's like, but really? Like,
now that's the Black Mirror in it. If that's how excited you get over your handle,
right?
You're the Black Mirror dude.
But this guy, yeah, no offense to this guy, Will Gaines, but he was the moderator last night. He's like, I got Billy the Kid, and I've waited my whole life because someone on Twitter had it, and then they died, and I couldn't get it. And I was just like, what? Like,
you're doing too much.
Bro.
There's a whole world outside.
Just do Billy the Kid 01, you know? Like, I don't, whatever.
It's all good.
So BitClout, and I mean, there's a lot of people in the entertainment world that are in it. I do think, like, we have an advantage, you know? Like, I know when albums are dropping. I know when people's clout should go up. And so theoretically, I should be able to make money off of that. But it doesn't mean that everyone else is going to believe
it.
And
none of this, when we're talking cryptocurrency, follows the same insider trading rules, right?
Mm-mm.
When we're talking about stocks and all that. So if you were in, bought the coin of all of your artists, there's nothing wrong with you knowing the value.
Well, everything's anonymous. You know, it's all done with code. You have you can see who owns coins on here. Once you claim a profile, it'll show that I own coins for Gary V. It lists me. I don't know how long they're going to do that, because the more people that are on there, the more...
There's going to be a lot.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. Yeah. But you can keep it... The actual transactions themselves are anonymous. That's all of crypto is electronic. Like, there is no identity to it. So you don't deal with international banks and wires and fees and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's the brilliance of crypto. But it's the future. Like, whether BitClout is the future of, you know, social media, I don't know. But like, the whole idea, we talked about NFTs last year, like, or last episode, this whole idea of keeping things anonymous and having a record for every single transaction that you can track, from my point of view, that's the future of royalties for film, for TV, for music. There's no like, oh, it's, you know, well, we got to wait for this recoupment, and then you got to wait to hear from this bank, and then you got to wait for your publishing. I mean, it's just, it's streamlined.
And unless you're in like one of those 360 or ancillary right deals, you should be able to receive all your money from BitClout. This shouldn't have anything to do with the labels.
Yeah, at all. It's social. Yeah, and even the most onerous 360 deal, I would think it would be hard.
Doesn't have this carved out.
It wouldn't. So, I mean, it's another way for musicians to potentially make money. It's... Anybody can do it, you know? So that part's nice. I mean, the NFT part of it, we've been talking more and more about that. I mean, you see more musicians jumping on that. I think that the rush is dying down a bit. You know, like, there was the $69 million purchase of Beeble's artwork, and that was auctioned by Sotheby's.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening over and over, but... millions of dollars, you know, to Kings of Leon and other bands that are doing it. And like Halsey launched one, Rob Gronkowski launched one. Open Seas, the platform, they just raised $23 million from investors. Like, this is going to continue. Gonna be the future.
We talked about it a little off air last time, but the physical displays of these things, I think once that starts catching on and people have these models where they can hang some of this work,
sure,
and showcase it to some people, then it might, the novice fan will start jumping on. Right now it's a very like nuanced thing. We're only the computer world, I would say, understands this thing.
It's collectors. You know? Yeah, I think you're right.
But it's even a small amount of collectors, because it's not even the physical collectors right now, because right, they think of, I buy art, I want to hang it up in my house. How can I do that now?
But here's the thing. Everybody has a TV. And everybody has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And so if I buy a digital NFT that has movement to it, or if it's just, you know, a static image, I can display that on my TV anytime I want, you know, or buy a specific monitor just for that. I have, my parents have a picture frame that I can upload pictures to, and it automatically shows up on there. I mean, that technology is there. You could buy a cool frame around your TV, and it's that's it. I mean, I think future galleries are going to have this, and some of these NFTs are really cool looking.
That's,
you know,
gonna be sick.
It's already here. You know, I don't know. Like, one of my buddies said the same thing. Like, oh, the move is to get into framing this stuff so people can hang it. It's like, well, that's a TV. You know, I mean, that's already there. Your computer monitor or whatever.
Right. But it's always that thing of like, if I just create this and say this is an NFT hanging model,
yeah,
even though it's just a TV,
for sure.
Oh, you're gonna go crazy.
I'm sure it's Amazon already has that, right? Like, I'm sure
it's gonna be a regular computer monitor. It'll be like, yeah, no, this is for NFTs,
right?
Like, oh, yes, wow. I need one.
Yeah, it's gonna be an NFT vision, something like that.
Yeah. So this crypto thing, I feel like we're gonna have a little bit of conversation about this in most of our podcasts going forward, because this is just the thing of the future.
And you know? I mean, what we've been working on is making sure that NFTs are not, they don't control, they don't include music, right? The minute that you include music, you have to clear those rights and you get different participants in that revenue, right? So an artist that's signed that backs one of their digital images with music from their album, but that money's going to the label.
Right.
So the move for artists to retain as much is to not include that, not include music, or come up with, you know, some sort of audio that has nothing to do with, you know, their music career, which I'm not sure how you do. It's just maybe voiceover stuff.
You got to figure out something.
Yeah.
Stay away from the labels.
Yeah.
No, not really. We can't say that. But speaking of which, we have, I'm not going to do all the codes or anything like that, but in California, there's a label code where a service contract can't last longer than 7 years.
Right.
Right. So sometimes artists try and fight that and say, hey, my label deal shouldn't last longer than 7 years. But there is an exception within that labor code which states if the service is to provide records, then it can last longer than 7 years. So right now, legislation in California is trying to remove that exception. So now artists would only be required to have 7-year deals.
Yeah.
You feel good about that? How you feel?
I feel better. Right. I mean, it would be good if it was a federal statute rather than just California, but a lot, you know.
A lot of deals.
Most publishing companies are California law. Label deals tend to be New York, but I mean, this would be something for us in Chicago that, you know, if music is being created, if you can somehow prove that there's some action in California, use California law.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think that's a gem, Adam. I'm sure you're on top of that.
I think that this is more geared to store publishing companies than label agreements, because we see a lot of the long-term life deals falling into publishing as opposed to record label deals. So I feel like this is one of those that would help those guys, because remember we talked about Kanye before.
Yep.
Minta Brown and her organization, they came out with a letter to music publishers saying, like, you're going to have to change some of your requirements, your delivery requirements, essentially, in these deals, because you're locking artists in for long term. So,
yeah,
if we can get 7 years for a publishing deal, I think.
It's interesting because Adam and I are working on something right now, which maybe that's the reason why they're being so friendly. I'm not using names or anything, but we have a client that's been in a deal since 2013. And he is, it was a publishing deal that goes four options, and each option required a certain number of deliveries. So in historically, publishing deals, you had to turn in a certain number of songs. And as a writer in pop music, you never own 100% of a song, right? Ever. You know,
there's always super 7 or 8 writers, right? On it, right?
Singer-songwriters, maybe, you know, but for the most part, especially as producers, you're writing the melody, you know, and the music, and someone's writing the top line or the lyrics, and so that's split 50-50, and then there's other producers, there's other writers. So you do a song, let's say you do a song, you get 50% of it, and your delivery requirements for that option period are 4 compositions, 5 compositions, whatever. That means you have to have 100% of 5 songs. And when you break it down, that could be the equivalent of 50 songs. You could have 10% on all those songs. So it's super onerous to have any sort of delivery requirement. This particular agreement also included crazy requirements that not only did you have to have 100% of all of those songs, or the equivalent of 100% of 5 songs, you had to, that song, each song had to perform a certain way. So,
I mean, it had a certain amount of streams.
Well, when
had
it first started, yeah, but when it first started, it was physical sales. So you had to sell.
And when you're saying physical, you're not even including digital, no, MP3 sales.
Albums, like vinyl, CDs, cassettes. This is 2013. There weren't vinyl or cassette sales. And so it was crazy numbers. Then it was modified to just streams. But the number of streams were like insane, like 50 million streams, which is, you know, if you have a big pop artist, okay, cool, you're going to get that. But 90% of, more than that, I don't know what the percentage is on Spotify or on digital platforms, but like they're not.
And that's only that. For it to qualify a certain song.
Just to qualify towards your delivery requirement.
So you could deliver those 50 songs, but only 7 of them may qualify based upon this requirement. Exactly. So even further.
Exactly. You know, and not only that, but let's say you have a song and the streaming requirement is 50 million streams. What if you have a song that does 49,999,999?
Right.
They're still collecting. They're still making money, but that doesn't count towards your
delivery.
So the normal contract now, thankfully, has moved to recoupment deals. Where, hey, we're going to give you $100,000. You have to, within the next year, turn in a couple of songs. Those songs have to go out on a major label or something. They have to be released so you're not just sitting on the money, right? So you're actually working to incentivize you to work. But there's no crazy requirements for performance of the song. And then once you've recouped that, you know, the $100,000, you move on to the next one. And you move on to the next, if depending on how many options. So, you know, I think it's... I'm glad you brought up the 7 years, because now that makes me think that that's the only reason why that this company is willing to deal with us right now.
Well, yeah, if we're looking at 2013, 20, yeah.
Oh, we're in 8 years. Yeah, we're 8 years in, and there's the 4 options. He's just in the first option period. So, you know,
yeah, so.
I don't know what happens to old deals, right? Like, is this law in California just forward-looking? So anything now is only 7 years, or are you able to use it retroactively?
I don't know. That's what I'm about to look more into. I don't know. Yeah. But I would assume you could use it retroactively.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just, you know, it should be, because, yeah, it's like, you know, I don't use this term lightly, but it's a little bit indentured servitude. Like, you are working for this company. They can kick back and just collect. And literally, you can't get out. There's nothing you can do. You can't go sign with someone else. And he's got to work, right? Like, he's got to work to feed his family.
This is his profession.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
And yeah. There's a lot of those contracts out there, you know? And so it's... 7 years is a long time, but look at the alternative. You could be in this for life.
Right. And then that 7 years is the max. It doesn't say that every deal has to be 7 years. And then if you think about 7 years for a pop artist, isn't that long of a time? You still have your career. You could still move around after the end of that 7 years. But then we also got to remember that it's for 7 years of service, and that doesn't mean that automatically all that you created in that 7 years goes back to you.
No.
Like, they can still use that for life, but at least you'll be free to go sign with somebody new.
Key point, right? Because it's 7 years that everything you create is owned by that company. But moving forward, they still own everything in perpetuity, you know, especially for publishing deals. Yeah, got to be careful.
That's what we're here for.
Right.
To protect the people.
That's right. Protect and collect, right?
Yeah.
Hashtag Eddie Sanders.